It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. When someone gets caught trafficking, making, or distributing drugs, more than likely they wind up incarcerated.
I deserved it. You know what I mean? I look at it now and think of all the poison that I put on the streets and the families that I destroyed and the people that I hurt. Sure, I deserved it, every bit of it.
But should drug offenders who have done their time be denied food stamps? It's a question we'll turn over in just a few minutes here on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. An assistant professor at West Virginia University just received a grant to study aspects of how natural gas drilling practices might affect human health. Jillian Brooks has more.
Public Health Assistant Professor Travis Knuckles has received a $450,000 grant from the National Institute of Health. The money will be used to look at how superfine airborne particles that result from horizontal drilling practices affect human health. During drilling, oil and gas are extracted from rock by blasting large quantities of water, sand, and chemicals underground. According to a press release from West Virginia University, Knuckles will spend 3 years studying how dust in the air near drilling sites can affect blood circulation and blood function in humans. Knuckles and his research team will look at whether fine particles released around gas drilling sites are more toxic than particles normally found in urban air. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jillian Brooks in Morgantown.
West Virginia is one of only four states that still enforces a lifetime ban on food stamps for people with felony drug convictions. As Molly Bourne reports, experts call the ban punishing and say that assistance could help them from getting rearrested.
Tracy Jividen shows off the spotless industrial kitchen, where she helps cook 3 meals a day for the residents of Recovery Point, a long-term treatment facility for women in Charleston.
This is my domain, okay? I do all this.
Last winter, she was stealing so she could eat. Jividen has been sober for 4 months. At 37 years old, she's been in lockup nearly half her life for crimes related to her addiction. 7 years ago, she got her first felony drug conviction when police found a meth lab in her home. She stayed off drugs for more than 2 years after she was released, completed drug court, got one of her kids back, had another child, and got married. But when her marriage fell apart, she became depressed. She lost her job, her car, then her kids. She started using heroin when she could afford it, and she wasn't sure where her next meal would come from.
Honestly, I was hungry, and there would be times that I would walk around, and I would be hungry, and I would think, man, can I just get a sandwich?
Jividen can't get food stamps in West Virginia for herself because she's a drug felon. Increasingly desperate, she started shoplifting and writing bad checks she says were for food. Then one morning last November, she walked into a Piggly Wiggly, ate a sandwich in the store, and tried to write a bad check. According to police, she had dozens of blank checks that didn't belong to her, and they charged her with forgery. Then she walked back into jail. Only West Virginia and 3 other states still enforce a full lifetime ban on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for people who commit drug-related felonies. The law does allow kids and spouses of drug felons to get SNAP, also known as food stamps. In Jividen's case, she chose to eat some of the food she bought with her kids' benefits rather than go hungry. Emily Wong is a Yale School of Medicine professor. She has studied this topic and regularly treats those released from prison.
When people have served their time, done their time, and have come home and then still yet have these barriers to obtaining basic needs is striking.
More than 2,100 drug felons were denied SNAP benefits in West Virginia in 2016. That's according to the State Department of Health and Human Resources. That figure doesn't include those who didn't apply knowing they'd be denied. The number has more than tripled over the previous decade. For some comparison, Nebraska, a state whose population is similar in size to West Virginia, denied benefits to about 650 applicants in 2015 because of felony drug convictions. Experts call West Virginia's numbers significant. Mark Maurer is a leading expert on sentencing policy at the Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit, The Sentencing Project.
People who are on the edge, it gives them a big shove over the edge in many cases because they've lost, you know, that safety net.
And he argues the policy is irrational.
I could go to prison on 3 armed robbery convictions, but the day I get out, I could go and apply for food stamps, and if I meet the income requirements, I would qualify. So, you know, it's not clear why this is only applied to drug offenses.
Nearly a fifth of West Virginians use SNAP benefits, and 5 of its counties rank in the top 100 nationwide for the concentration of food stamp recipients per capita. The ban on food stamps for drug felons was passed in 1996 under the Clinton administration. It was a small part of a package of major welfare reform laws. In addition to SNAP, felony drug offenders can't get other welfare benefits either. Maurer calls the provision an outgrowth of war on drugs era policies, but not one based on evidence.
This particular provision was thrown in as a relatively minor provision. It received literally 2 minutes of debate. When one thinks about the tens of thousands of people in various states affected by it, 2 minutes of debate in Congress seems pretty shameful for such an important policy shift.
Most states have either lifted the ban or adopted some restrictions. For instance, drug felons might have to take a drug test to qualify for SNAP in some states. The issue gained some traction in West Virginia in 2011. Former Democratic State Senator Daniel Foster, a Charleston physician, was the lone sponsor of a bill that would have lifted the ban. The state Senate passed it, but it died in a House committee. West Virginians with felonies, drug-related or otherwise, have a tough time transitioning back into society as it is. The legislature passed a law last year that lets nonviolent felons ask the court to reduce their convictions to misdemeanors, but they have to have a clean record for 10 years before that can happen. Other barriers remain, too. A so-called ban the box bill that would have prevented public employers from asking job applicants about their criminal record stalled earlier this year. And many felons can't get public housing, although each county housing authority has that discretion. Sean Tackett remembers the struggle. Tackett is 40, and he runs a sober living home in Crosslanes called The Rock. He's been off drugs for 5 years, but he did 2 stints in lockup, including 10 years in federal prison for conspiracy to sell and make meth.
I deserved it. You know what I mean? I look at it now and think of all the poison that I put on these streets and the families that I destroyed and the people that I hurt. And sure, I deserved it, every bit of it.
In prison, he earned several trade certifications and says he was done with the streets and ready to reunite with his sons. But he says even with those new skills, he couldn't get work in those fields once people saw his criminal record. Without a driver's license, he says it didn't make sense to take a bus to a minimum wage job. He stayed with a friend in St. Albans and applied for public assistance.
First thing she said, what kind of charge? I said, a drug charge. She said, there's nothing we can do for you. If you don't have any hope, you know, there's nothing to strive for. I kept, you know, trying to do all this and get, you know, assistance, anything just to help me get on my feet.
Tackett went to food banks and pantries. Eventually, he wound up making meth again and went back to jail. Stories like Tackett's and Jividen's are exactly what policy analysts worry about. Research shows the ban disproportionately affects poor people and also sets up drug offenders to be arrested again. Seth DeStefano is Policy Outreach Director for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy.
And this particular issue, from a kind of a scalpel-like perspective, is one that we really need to get serious about. Folks who are coming out of jail, we should not be making it harder for them to have something to eat.
Any lifting or modification of the lifetime ban would require a change in law by the state legislature. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Partly sunny skies in the north today, mostly cloudy in the south. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs today in the 70s and low 80s. Continued chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Tamarack, the best of West Virginia, presenting their dinner theater series featuring On Golden Pond, June 29th and 30th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets and information at tamarackwv.com. Plans are underway for a new multi-cottage resort in West Virginia that a developer says will cater to the needs of ATV riders. Developer Todd Bogus tells the Bluefield Daily Telegraph that the ATV outpost at Pocahontas is envisioned as a family-friendly facility with 22 cabins, a restaurant, general store, and more. Mercer County Convention and Visitors Bureau Director Jamie Knoll says they are very pleased and excited to see this investment in ATV tourism in the county. The lodge was one of 15 projects to receive an abandoned mine land grant award that will be used for the development. In 2017, the West Virginia Economic Development Authority Board of Directors gave preliminary approval of a $1.15 million loan to Bogus's company, B&O Development of Princeton, for the project. West Virginia will be the setting for the latest in a video game series with an international following. As Liz McCormick reports, the game will feature landscapes, folklore, and well-known locations from around the state in a post-apocalyptic time period.
Over the weekend, American-based Bethesda Game Studios revealed a new trailer and exclusive gameplay for its biggest video game to date, titled Fallout 76.
300 years after our great nation began, we gather together to honor the completion of Vault 76.
Bethesda director and executive producer Todd Howard revealed details for the upcoming game at the 2018 Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, held at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Set in the hills of West Virginia, you are one of the first to emerge into an untamed and very different wasteland.
Howard says Fallout 76 is a prequel to the family of Fallout video games that started in the late 90s and set in post-apocalyptic times with cyberpunk and retro-futuristic art and style. Some well-known locations are seen in the latest game trailer, like the state capitol, the Greenbrier Resort, and West Virginia University's Woodburn Hall. Some of West Virginia's own local monsters, like the Beast of Grafton and the Mothman, also make an appearance.
Now, most people don't know West Virginia that well. It is an incredible array of natural wonders, towns, and government secrets. And the quest will take you through six distinct regions, each with their own style, risks, and rewards.
Howard says Fallout 76 will be the first Fallout game to be played entirely online and uses new technology to enhance gameplay and visual landscape. Both the teaser and the latest trailer feature John Denver's song, Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.